Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This story was told at Frontier in Brunswick, where the event's dedicated theme was Weed It Out. Here's today's host, storyteller and ceramic craftsman from New Jersey, Peter Aguero.
Please welcome your next storyteller, Shannon Kaysen. Come on!
All right, these are just some memories. Y'all mind if I tell some memories?
Yeah.
That's cool. All right, my dad, he wore big hats and double-breasted suits and talked big when we drove around Detroit in his Cadillac. He said it was triple black. I asked him, Daddy, what's triple black? He said, my Cadillac, boy. I'm like, nah, Dad, I mean, like, what does triple black mean? He was quiet. I don't think he really knew. But my dad always had a big answer. He thought about it. He'd say, black on the inside, black on the outside, and a black man driving. Triple black. It's funny, like, when we young, our parents can say things in the simplest conversations that stick with us for a lifetime. These just some memories. We would drive around Detroit in the Cadillac, triple black, and we would drive down Woodward Avenue. And at that time, it was a lot of beautiful buildings, tall buildings, but they were abandoned. And it was like a long, like blocks of storefronts that would be boarded up. And we would drive down through Cass Corridor. And that was like a hangout for homeless people, for people who, mentally ill people, which is sad, and then drug addicts, prostitutes, pimps, drug dealers. Right now, it's like, I mean, you come to Detroit, that area is like, I mean, it's a beautiful area. Now they're selling, you know, apartments, one bedrooms, like $3,000 in that area now, you know. But at that time, it was Cass Corridor was like that. And I'd be riding with my dad, and my dad never drank much. He drank every now and again. I see him with some brown liquor. He liked cognac. His favorite brand was Remy Martin. And he would, I didn't see him smoke much, but every now and again, he'd be smoking a pack of Cools. But one thing I always see him with, like every day, my dad smoked weed pretty much every day, all day, every day, you know. So we'd be riding in the Cadillac, and my dad, I remember this vividly, he had some weed, and he was smoking it while we, you know, he'd take two totes, and he'd look at it and put it in the ashtray, and then he'd grab it out, take two more, look at it, and he said, damn, this is some good shit. And I was quiet. I was a quiet kid, and I think he forgot that I was sitting there. So I was looking at him, and he looked at me, and I was like drowning in the black leather seat, you know. I was a kid. And my dad looks at me and the smoke was filling the car. And I guess my dad would always, he'd think, you know, and he'd tell me, he said something that was in exact contrast of what I just heard him say. The emotion, the words, the feeling he had, it was in exact contrast to that. He said, I better not ever catch you smoking that shit. I whoop your ass. My dad never hit me either, so that was like him saying he'll whoop my ass was, he like, I don't ever want to see you smoking that shit. And it stuck. I never tried it. The conversations, the simplest things can last with us for a lifetime when we're kids from our parents. So I never had the desire to smoke. I never had the taste for some good shit. These just some memories. One memory, my dad, he built a room on the back of the house. And it wasn't like he built it with his bare hands or anything. He probably took out a mortgage and had it built. But I was a kid, so I thought he built it with his bare hands. And I don't know what you call it if you... At that time, if you called it a man cave, I don't know if that was a word back then or like a den. But me and my sister would call it the room Daddy smoked weed in. And I would go in the room because I like the smell of weed. I just, as a kid, I love the smell of weed and gasoline for some reason. I like the smell at the gas station, and Halloween mask. I like the smell of, I was weird. I like the smell of like Halloween mask. But I like the smell of weed, and I go in the room, and I just, you know, hang out there with my dad. And he had this big brown leather couch. It was big, and it had buttons all over. And I would, you know, this is 70s, 80s, whatever. I would go in the, and mess with the buttons and a button would fall off and then I'd leave the room. You know, like, I don't want them to see that. And it had big leather couch with buttons. It had this big clunky wood coffee table. Like clunky wood was the style at that time. Big clunky with ornate things on it. Like houses, it was before like the glass was in style at one point, and then, you know, probably hood, you know, houses in my neighborhood had the, you know, probably IKEA now is the big thing, but I'm saying, like, at that time, the clunky wood, that big clunky wood coffee table was the style. And he had this big, it was like a dresser. It was as big as a dresser with a little 19-inch screen. So a big dresser with a little 19-inch screen. And then with some weed on the clunky wood coffee table. It was like a tray. He still got that same tray to this day. It was like a gold tray. And it had weed and stems and seeds, these little seeds. I thought they looked like little ball bearings. He had little seeds and he'd spread everything out. And papers or whatever he used. And I would go in the room to just smell the weed. And I was around 6 or 7, but my head was about as big as it is right now. Like I had the same size head. And I got big lips, you know, I got big lips and I'd be in the room and as a kid, and my lips get ashy, and my dad would have a open jar of Vaseline on that coffee table. And it would always be there, like in different spots. It was like a paperweight. It would just be an open jar of Vaseline. And I was in the room, his spot, and my lips were ashy. So I got a little Vaseline and put it on my lips. My dad said, boy, don't use that Vaseline. I say, why, Daddy? Mommy, my lips get ashy. Mommy always puts Vaseline on my lips. And he said, boy, don't use that Vaseline. So I was in there and I said, Dad, it's a hair on my lip. So I grabbed this towel that was sitting on the button couch to wipe off my lips. He like, boy, don't use that towel. These just some childhood memories, you know. The first time I tried weed, I was 35 years old. I'm 43 right now. I was 35 years old. It was at a time that I figured, like, it was beyond that stretch when my dad can't whoop my ass no more. You know, he's 78 or whatever. You know, I think I can get him. I think so. You know what I'm saying? If he tried to fight me. So I tried it. The stigma had broke down from weed. Everybody started talking about it. I wanted to try it. They talk about pain relief and all these other things. So I asked my wife, I said, because she was a big weed head, I said, hey, can you get some weed for me? And she worked at a restaurant, and pretty much you can get anything at a restaurant. I mean, the servers, I know I'm at Frontier, but you can get, you know, you go talk to the right server. You can get anything. So I'll bring you some weed home. And she brought it home in a little bitty, like a little baggie or whatever. And she rolled me a joint. I didn't know how to roll it. You know, she rolled me one and I smoked it. And I laughed so hard that day. And man, I ate so well that day. And then we went to sleep, and I slept so well, so great. It's just a great sleep. And I woke up the next morning, and the first thing I said to my wife, the first thing I said, I was like, now that was some good shit. And I've been smoking ever since, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you, Soundbite.
Well, Shannon Kasin has told stories all over the country with The Moth, Snap Judgment, and his own podcast, Homemade Stories. His new podcast with WBEZ Chicago is called The Trouble with Shannon Kasin. Shannon is a husband, father, and he's originally from Detroit. One more time for Shannon Kasin.
Join us now for a conversation before the tell backstage. Our storyteller talked with the host to give us some interesting facts about them.
Shannon, what is your connection to Maine?
You know, I came to Maine a few times with the corner, storytelling. So storytelling is my connection. And I've been here three times with Sound Bites. And every time I've come, it's been a good time. I mean, I gotten some good food, good people. People are nice. So that's storytelling is my connection.
What got you into storytelling?
I happened upon it. I was writing a lot, and I put all my stories in a zine, and I found out about storytelling on the north side of Chicago, and I went to a show, and I've been doing it ever since.
What is your process for preparing to tell a story?
I try to prepare as much as possible. So I think about the event, I think about the people that might be at the event, and I prepare as much as possible. But then I usually change everything at the last minute and do something different. So that's just how it goes.
Tell us about one part of your story that you're not including in your telling tonight.
Okay, the story I have for tonight, I got an adult part in the story. And it's got a feel for the crowd. If the crowd is ready for it, I might tell it. If they're not, I'll just leave that part out.
Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to Toad & Co. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, is online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org.